Which famous actor has what we think the least amount of range? We discuss this amongst many other things and talk Kong Skull Island. We are the Cinema Guys. Welcome to the show.
We're back.
Hey, Justin, how's it going?
It's good, Brad. We are solo this week, or like if it's two of us, Twolo? Are we Twolo?
We're throwing it back to episode one,
when it was just the two of us, like Will Smith and his son. Just the two of us.
So this week we're going to talk Skull Island, well, Kong Skull Island.
Kong Skull Island, such an original name.
I know.
Along with what's the next one, Godzilla, King of Monsters.
I think it might just be called King of Monsters, but I'm not 100% sure on that. I could be completely false. Don't fact check me.
Well, we did see the movie, and what did you think?
You want to jump into the movie first, or maybe we should do the movie first?
Let's
because
do
our
the movie first.
Our question kind of goes along with possibly an actor in this movie. Kong Skull Island. This is, I don't know, how many different versions of Kong
you got the 1976 version.
Well, there's the original, like, 1930-something version.
Right. And then you got the Peter Jackson version.
Peter Jackson.
What year was that? 2004? 5? I think 5.
Maybe somewhere
And then
there.
You have the 2014 one. Oh, no, sorry. I jumped to Godzilla. 2014 was Godzilla. No, so that one and now this one. So with those...
I feel like there was another one in there.
I'm sure there's been other appearances, but... I mean, then there's Donkey Kong. He's sort of a Kong.
I don't know if that counts, but I mean, yeah, he is a Kong.
So I get the idea that the first one, remember the first one was like big budgeted, like huge film. It was a big, it was important in film history, the first Kong.
Oh, yeah. And it had, for back then, the effects were phenomenal.
Yeah, it was like really important. I feel like Peter Jackson, even whether you liked his Kong or not, was following through with that. Like, hey, this is an important film. We're going to. Yeah. Really make something that's an important thing, not just monster movie. And I think in this one, they're like, yeah, we're just making it a monster.
Yeah, this one's
movie
just a when there's straight no up monster movie.
There's no art in this. It's just boom. Although some of the silhouetted scenes of him and the sun were pretty awesome.
They were really sweet.
This is beautiful for a giant monkey.
There were some really beautiful shots. Like it was framed like a comic book.
Now, is Kong always that big or is he bigger in this than he was in, let's say, other movies?
I don't know. It's hard to say.
This is what I base it on, hand size.
Okay.
So in other Kongs, he would grab the woman and hold her like an ice cream cone, and basically her arms and legs popped out the top of his hand. And there, you know, her arms and head popped out the top, and the rest of her body was in there. Now, like four or five people could fit just in the palm.
When he grabbed it, like caught her that one time, like she just basically disappeared into his hand.
Yeah. So I feel like this Kong is really big, and I mean, So
this, I go back and forth with this. It was just a straight up monster movie, which it was fun in that aspect. I felt like they tried to force these stories of characters in there.
Oh, like I feel like they should just not have humans in this.
Yeah, like the one guy with the letter, like writing it to
his
son.
None of it made sense. You thought something was going to happen. The only person that had any credence in the movie was John C. Reilly. His story actually made sense.
Yeah,
but like you have John Goodman and you have Samuel Jackson. You have
even Tom Hiddleston was just like there.
Yeah, and you're like. It's not like they're doing a bad job acting. There's just nothing to go on.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I was like, this is... the human part was just dumb.
And then Samuel Jackson just was basically the same character he plays in almost every movie. I felt like he was like his exact character from Deep Blue Sea.
Deepest, bluest. My head is like a Sharks fan. Yes.
that one.
So I think we should take a break and jump into our list since you just brought it up.
Because, Samuel L. Jackson?
Yes, one of our top lists.
Top list.
Is really the actor with the least amount of range. And speaking of Samuel Jackson, I think he comes up in the top rankings of this. And
I think he's up there. But as I think of it, like, for instance, Black Snake Moan, he wasn't like a typical Samuel Jackson.
And there's, I think I have one or two other exceptions for him too, because it's not, and I'm not necessarily saying that he's a horrible, or any of these people horrible actors.
He's not a horrible actor.
It's just when you get them in your movie, you're getting them. You're not getting what you want them to be. They're not adapting themselves to a role. Now, I would say he is not very Samuel Jackson-y as Mace Windu.
No.
So you never see him be like, lightsabers!
In Kong, he was very Samuel Jackson. If it wasn't PG-13, I think he would have dropped a few F-bombs.
Right, I mean, I feel like... So, but yeah, I will give you... And then Black Snake Moon was awesome. I think he's a great...
he's a good actor.
Yeah, he's Jules Winfield from Pulp Fiction. Man, he is awesome in that role.
I wonder whenever they call him up, if they're like, okay, Sam, we want Sam. We don't want a character. We just want Sam. Right.
He's only got one.
He's like, I got
his,
this.
Even his Nick Fury is Samuel Jackson. Like,
oh, yeah, totally.
It's got a Samuel Jackson flair to it, especially in that last one when he was like more like Shaft a little bit.
Yeah.
So in my list, I have one that I think just is the icing on the cake that I won't share yet.
Okay.
But because he doesn't really count. But my one of my main ones is Kevin Costner. Like, and I love Kevin Costner.
Okay.
But in... When he's Robin Hood, he's not putting on no English accent.
He tries.
He is.
In and out.
Maybe. He's just Kevin Costner.
I love that Robin Hood.
I love that movie. I love Dance with Wolves. I love at least 45% of his entire...
I'm probably one of the minority that loves The Postman.
Oh, no. I love The Postman. I saw it in the movie theater twice. Like, I think The Postman is a great movie. But you still are always just getting Kevin Costner.
It's true.
You're not getting anything else.
Oh, it's totally true.
You're just getting him.
Yeah.
He's not going to be a different role. Even JFK, like, or even The War, where he's like kind of got a country accent or whatever. It's still Kevin Costner.
And then and Waterworld, you just get Kevin Costner with gills.
Yes. Which is, doesn't make any sense that in, 30 years of evolution, he now has gills? 30 years. They should have made
I think that's what it was, right?
Yeah. It was not very long because there's still oil in the oil tankers. It's still viable. Like, it hasn't, like...
It's like the Mad Max movies. There's gasoline. However long it's gone.
So, else on my list, and I don't want to put him on there because he is in my top three actors of all time, but you got to put Keanu on there.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you get Keanu.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Every time. And I love him. And I love him. He gets cast in the best roles.
You put him in the right role, like John Wick, which we recently saw the second one. He's perfect for that.
Yeah. And P.S., this list idea was given to us by a listener.
Yeah.
So any of you guys who listen out there, pitch us some ideas.
Exactly.
Someone sent us a great text with this sort of comment. And I actually tried to get that person here tonight. They couldn't make it. But some of his comments were Andy McDowell. A big Andy.
I can see that.
Which is weird because Andy McDowell has come up in like four conversations in the past week that I've had. And an episode of my wife's watching some episode of a show. It's not New Girl, but the other show that's a lot like New Girl that came out around the same time that didn't make it.
Oh, the Happy Endings?
Happy Endings, yes. Okay. There's an episode of Happy Endings where they're just doing Andy McDowell quotes the entire time. Mainly it's just Groundhog's Day. A couple of the other ones our listener threw out was Richard Gere. Which I thought was a good one because Richard Gere is just Richard Gere. Throughout Casey Affleck, which Casey Affleck is just Casey Affleck.
And he just won an Oscar for being Casey Affleck.
Dude, that's because that movie was freaking good. When that goes back, going back to Kong for a second, you have someone writing something good for you. You don't have to be anything but yourself and you can have a good movie. Whereas like in Kong, you have great actors. It's not really writing really great scripts. Jennifer Garner was the other one he had, but I don't agree with that one because I like Jennifer Garner.
Well, I've never watched 13 Alias.
Going on 30 and Elektra. What?
She wasn't much in Elektra as Elektra anyway, or in Elektra.
You know what I did like? Or sorry, let's hear some of your lists.
Some of mine, I would say Vin Diesel.
You
get Vin Diesel.
I mean, he was the pacifier.
But you still just...
Yeah, I guess the most range he ever had was Pitch Black when he just didn't say anything.
Yeah, you get like the scratchy voice.
Yeah.
And like, you know, he throws out some one-liners or... No.
What was it?
Whatever.
100 fights. 100 fights is what you got to get in order to have tough skin. Do you remember that movie, Knock Around Guys or whatever?
Oh, it's been a long time since I've seen that one.
I loved it.
Another one, like a huge actor, but I don't, at least later in his career, his range hasn't gotten, hasn't been as well. Tom Cruise.
Oh,
early in his career,
Tom
I
Cruise.
Think so, but now it seems like he's just rehashing the same
I would
action
Jeff
scene.
Bridges in that same category.
Oh, Jeff Bridges is
where
totally,
he used to
he's
be,
just the dude.
He used to have a range, but now it doesn't matter what he does.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to be True Grit. He's going to be the dude. It's all the same.
Yeah, he's the dude, and that's it. Yep. Like early in his
career.
He doesn't
try anymore, man. I think you get the point where you're like, I don't even know.
Yeah, up to the Big Lebowski, you know, he probably had a little bit, but then since then, it's just
it's true.
A different version of the dude. And my other one that I kind of put on my list isn't so much a big actor anymore. He was big in the 80s. Steven Seagal. Or Jean-Claude.
Either or. That's going to bring me into my trump card in a second. But yeah, because with these martial arts guys, you're not, you know, especially in the 80s, when they were really cool. What was it about the 80s that made ninjas and martial arts like the best? Like now it gets
I watched them all.
So now I guess it's superheroes.
Yeah.
Superhero is what we do. But then it was like martial arts and ninjas and surf ninjas. Everything was a ninja movie.
Oh, it was.
Three ninjas. American Ninja.
Yeah, the fighting movies.
Ninja Gaiden, you had all these, everything was Shinobi, all the games, like everything was a ninja.
Well, then he had all the fighting movies, Jean-Claude's, all his martial arts movies, Steven Seagal's.
They weren't ninjas, they were fighting ninjas. Ninjas were like the ultimate bad. And like the different colors made you different, like, levels of ninja-ing.
Let's not forget Double Dragon.
Although American Ninja, I think we've talked about that on this podcast before, but it is a good movie.
It has been a long time since I've watched those.
And then we had Storm Shadow and
Snake Eyes.
Snake Eyes, yes. Ninjas. That's what we loved them in the 80s.
We did.
So anyways, that brings me in. My ultimate trump card is Danny Trejo. He is always Danny Trejo.
He's the machete.
He cannot be machete. I think it's even so bad that now when he shows up in movies, he's not even a new character. He's just machete in that movie.
Oh, pretty much. Yeah.
I'm machete. And I'm in this movie too.
This is what you get.
Yeah. But like all those, he's pigeonholed just like all those martial arts guys.
Oh, absolutely.
Like Jean-Claude Van Damme. There's no movie without him doing the splits. Here's a good one. I don't know the answer. It's off the top of my head. Can you think of an actor like that, a martial artsy actor, an actor who's just brought in, who broke it and started doing something different, or had one movie where they're like not martial arts, or just a guy trying to act? I'm going through Steven Seagal, Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Well, Jean-Claude tried.
Did he try?
Like later.
In JCVD?
Well, there was that, but
he
before
still did
then.
Martial arts.
He took the cigarette out of the guy's mouth. There were still martial arts, but like, towards the end of his height,
what did he do that was
he
serious?
Tried like The Quest, but it was still martial arts.
Like an
and then
film.
What was that one of
That'll
the last
the
ones? Nowhere to Run. There was still martial
still
arts, but he
film.
Tried to right. be more of a drama movie.
No, I was trying to think too. Like, I mean, I guess
Steven Seagal just went on environmental kicks.
Yeah, he became like super Native American.
Yeah, oh yeah.
There's another movie or another actor. Oh, well, I was thinking of like, oh, Sylvester Stallone. I think he kind of did that, but he didn't start as a muscle. He became a muscle after Rocky, right?
Yeah, I mean, Rocky was
perfect
for it.
He doesn't have much
it.
Range, but
he doesn't.
Love
but
him. God, love.
I mean,
Sylvester
he
Stallone.
He did the dramatic. Acting like Copland, like he was great in that.
Tango and Cash.
I love that movie so much.
Oscar.
Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell's another one. You get Kurt Russell.
I love Kurt Russell though.
He's one of my favorite actors.
He's always going to be Snake Plissken.
But that's what you get. You just get a different version of Kurt Russell.
It's true. What about Overboard? I think he has two ranges.
Okay.
He has the serious Snake, but then he has this funny Captain Ron in Overboard, which is a funny thing to think about. That Overboard happened with Goldie Hawn. Captain Ron is just what he became as he got older. Or that Snake, after he retires, just becomes Captain Ron because they both have a patch.
That could be it.
I love Kurt Russell. And I'll tell you what, that dude looks freaking awesome for being as old as he is.
Oh, absolutely.
He looks so good. I think it was How Did This Get Made? They actually mentioned that, and I was like, let me go look. And I went to his IMDb. I'm like, holy crap, they were totally right.
Have you seen Death Proof, the Quentin Tarantino Grindhouse movie? He was Kurt Russell in that. Like, he didn't have many lines, but great movie.
Yeah, so I can't think of any martial art. If you can think of a martial artist out who broke the mold and started acting and did something amazing. Now, it's not a martial artist, but I feel like Will Smith did that. Will Smith was Fresh Prince, and he did silly stuff.
He did silly stuff, and then he went action, and then
like
serious.
Like sci-fi action. Well, Men in Black, Independence
I guess
Day.
Before he went action, he did...
He did movies that I can make a rap song to.
What was that one first movie he did? Like the Degrees of Separation or something? It was a really small role that he did.
Well, he was in something with Oprah Winfrey, where he was her daughter's boyfriend, and he was like very Zulu Nation kind of.
But I feel like he is opposite. Like he has quite a range. He went from comedy, action. He can do drama.
Oh yeah, he does
both.
But he could have easily just been that funny rapper guy.
He could have been Fresh Prince forever.
Rest in peace, DJ like, Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, I just thought of another one that it's kind of the same. Mark Wahlberg.
Oh yeah,
he's a whisper actor. He just kind of softly just talks his lines.
I want to do a Mark Wahlberg impersonation. Hey, Brad, I'm Mark Wahlberg. I'm on your show. It's all right, man?
Did you bring the Funky Bunch with you?
He was really into trees for a while, too. What was his first movie that people took him serious? Was it Three Kings or Perfect Storm? Or?
Well, I know he did that. What was that one where he was?
Oh, Basketball
Fear.
Diaries? Was he
Fear.
Fear. Was he in Basketball Diaries with Leo?
Was he
the other dude?
I don't remember.
Yeah, Fear.
Fear
was
one that he really...
Fear was a awesome freaking movie. I remember that was like one of my first like coming of age high school movies where I went to the theater, was like, oh, I got my own money. I'm going to pay for my own movie. And
going.
I get there. And he's
can't
like...
stop me.
He's like carving her name in his chest with the ink and...
Oh, yeah.
And then the roller coaster. You can't do that on roller coasters, man. Do you remember that?
I do. We're a clean podcast, so we won't really say.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, dude. Beer was awesome.
Oh yeah,
Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg was in the Basketball Diaries.
Ooh, good research. Thanks, research assistant John, for looking that up for us. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's
so
what I thought.
We could probably go on like this list, but there's quite a few.
Yeah, and bring us back to Samuel Jackson. He is one who is just Samuel Jackson in this
for
movie.
The most part. Yeah. And it's one of those that our listener asked, could you just replace him with a CG character and not have to put him in the movie?
Right, because, hey, now we have CGI Samuel Jackson. So I mean, we're still going to pay him royalties, but he doesn't have to waste his time showing up because he's just got to, we have him already. Put him in whatever clothes you want, Samuel Jackson.
And if you've seen Rogue One, you know like, this can easily happen.
Somebody mentioned this in a serious way. About Will Smith and the production of CGI. They were saying like, oh, CGI is getting so great. Won't it be awesome in, you know, 20 years to have an old aged Will Smith, but he's wearing a CGI suit that when we see him in the movie, he's a young Will Smith. And the person critiquing it was like, no, that won't be awesome at all. Like, I want to see an old Will Smith. I want to see what he can do when he's old. I want to see. And if the problem with CGI is that you can edit whatever you want. So the director knows what he wants. So we can edit that CGI to make it look whatever. But he's like, there's so many movies where an actor will just do a look or say a line that wasn't really there. And the director's like, oh, that was genius. And I didn't even see it coming. Like, you'll miss that out with the CGI stuff.
Well, you do have some of it right now, like with Civil War and Ant-Man, when they, like Robert Downey Jr. in Civil War, where they made the really young Robert Downey Jr. at the beginning. And then Ant-Man, when they made Michael Douglas, like it was years before.
Young Mickey Doug.
The technology is there. If an actor gets too old, they're like, well, we can still make you 20.
No, I want to see old actors. Michael Douglas and Ellen looks really good. He also might be another one that's pretty...
It's possible. He's kind of on the cusp. So I guess we'll wind it back to the Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, so what about the evolution... So there's a lot about evolution, these things evolving.
Oh, yeah.
And so what about a two-legged monster has anything to do with a positive evolution? Like, it seems like that is a de-evolution, not evolving in a good way.
To me, I feel like the evolution is like they just evolved into these giant beasts.
Oh,
when they first get there and it's like the giant water buffalo thing that just like comes out of the water. and just like walks by him. Like, okay, that was just in there too.
Yeah, why don't they do? Is that like Babe the Big Blue Ox?
It might be.
It probably is. Probably where Paul Bunyan got.
Where's Paul Bunyan at?
Dude, if they did a third movie and suddenly out of nowhere an axe comes,
an axe comes
and hacks off like Kong's head, and everyone's like, "What?" And then you see Paul Bunyan, the Blue Ox, like spear Godzilla, and he's like, "With my big double bladed axe," and you're like, "What?" And it's Paul Bunyan, dude. That would be the ultimate way to end a series.
So if the producers are listening to our show, there you go.
I'm sure they are. Get Paul Bunyan. You can CGI him. You don't even need an actor.
So overall, I almost, part of me wants to say, yes, see it in the theater because some of the visuals were amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's fun. It's a fun movie.
It is a fun movie.
There's no depth.
And it's just you're going in as a straight up monster movie. That's it. Don't go in with this, you're going to really care about, because you don't really care about the characters.
The only character
you care about is John C. Reilly.
Right, and they actually didn't, you know, all the other Kongs, they've always brought a sympatheticness to Kong, and they tried in this, but it really didn't work.
Yeah, they tried, because they did the, he felt for the female, as he always does,
because,
but then it was like this quick 1 minute thing, and then it moved on.
Now, I'm not big on the monster movies. I know enough to know what I need to know, but like, I know that Godzilla always ended up turning toward helping mankind.
But
Kong did too, right?
Yeah.
So when they fight against each other, they're going to end up teaming him up against like Mothra or something? Because Mothra was always evil, right?
I don't know.
That thing with the three heads was always evil. Mothra was evil.
Is that Gamora?
Gamora.
But Rodan.
Like, Mothra. I remember the Godzilla cartoon in the like 90s, and he was the good guy. And all the other guys.
Those who have seen Kong Skull Island, there is a what I like to call the
secret ending,
Marvel ending at the end. It's like exactly filmed like a Marvel ending.
And some of those endings, you're like, okay, was that really worth sitting here? But this one, I did not see it, but from what I understand, was definitely worth sitting there and seeing it.
Yeah,
I went home.
It basically sets up the monster universe of this, like the next for the King of the Monsters with Godzilla versus all the monsters to lead into King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yep. And apparently that's their plan to do it all just like that.
We'll see if it works out, because it made some big money, but it hasn't been blowing it out of the water. It's no Beauty and the Beast.
It's no, which I saw.
I have not yet. I plan to.
I liked Beauty and the Beast. It was good. We probably won't do it on the podcast, so I can talk about it for a second here. If you like the original one, you would definitely like it, because it's pretty much the same thing. A couple extra songs. All the new songs suck.
So, would you go see Kong Skull Island? Would you say, hey, run out and see it?
Maybe right now, because there's not a lot out else to see.
I would say, with what's out right now, go see Logan if you haven't seen it. That's probably my favorite movie that's in the theater right now. Because I haven't seen Beauty and the Beast or other things.
You've seen Beauty and the Beast. You just haven't seen this version of it.
I haven't seen this version of Beauty and the Beast.
It's the same thing.
But if you want a good movie, like you need a matinee, like it's a fun monster movie.
And if you have kids over the age of 10, it's a PG-13 film. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, there's only one scene that just kind of gets graphic, but that's it.
Yeah, maybe we'll.
It's not like Logan.
12. Maybe over the age of 12. I mean, I don't know. Some parents let their kids see whatever. But it's a good one just to have fun with a kid.
Oh, yeah. Too. Absolutely.
Introduce them to the old classics in new ways.
So moving on.
Hold on. Did you think it was interesting that it was set in the 1970s? And was there like... and they had an Apocalypse Now basically scene.
The helicopters
the whole time I was thinking
line.
Vietnam, Viet Cong... I was thinking guerrilla warfare. I'm like, are they really just doing these big puns? But
they kind of did.
They did.
Like, yeah, when they're all lined up.
As soon as I saw the Apocalypse Now scene, I was like, the Viet Cong. I get it.
That scene was pretty cool when they flew in and he's just standing there with the sun behind him.
Yeah.
And then they tried to get all tough, and Kong's like, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he is a very tough Kong.
Oh yeah,
we have not. I don't think we've seen one as tough as him. But I think they're doing it on purpose because he's got to fight Godzilla.
Yeah,
so but definitely more stronger than anyone we've seen. Less weak. The other ones get a little hurt.
And he, like we mentioned before, there is some sympathy in it, but he doesn't have a lot. He just wanted to destroy the evil monsters that were trying to kill everyone else.
Right. Anyways, yeah.
So I'd say check out a matinee if they if nothing else to see.
So, what about some at-home recommendations?
You always have like 12.
I do have a lot of this. And I don't know if I have as many, but I do have some.
You tend to have more time to watch things than I do.
I'm going to go ahead and just replug real quick Powerless and replug Legion because I'm watching. Right. That's the only show.
I started Powerless and it's hilarious. It is hilarious,
isn't it? They're the only shows that I'm watching currently that I watch as they update new every week. Otherwise, okay. That's why I keep recommending them because I keep seeing new ones. Legion's amazing. They finally referenced Professor X, I think. Or at least he said, your father thought he could hide you from me, but he was wrong. And I'm like, oh, he's talking about Professor X, I think.
You think they'll bring Professor X into the show?
I don't think so.
You don't think?
I don't think so.
Does it have any of the major characters that people would know from X-Men?
None.
Okay.
They have a lot of mutants. And all of them are 100%. And I guess maybe if you're some super fan, you might be like, oh, that's so-and-so. But
yeah, but they're not like the common ones nothing. That people would know.
And they haven't they've never mentioned the word X-Men. They've never mentioned Charles Xavier. Like, they haven't said any names at all. And even these organizations are organizations I've never heard of, like District 3 or whatever it's called. I don't know. So it's all new. And there's some cool mutants. They're definitely going with different sort of powers. Not the typical flame and ice and flying kind of stuff. It's definitely all off powers. Like I can get into your mind kind of stuff. A lot of those kind of
I will have to check it out. It's on my list.
I did start Iron Fist. So I got to watch Jessica Jones, Daredevil 1, Daredevil 2, and Luke Cage. So this is the next Netflix installment, all preparing us for the Defenders.
Defenders that comes out, I think, this summer.
Yeah. And so episode 1, freaking loved it. I was like, Jesus, is good. Episode 2, I was like, episode 3, I'm halfway through now, and I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah, so, it's definitely the lowest rated of the Marvel shows thus far, for sure.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of complaints, but there was a dude in here today who was just like, man, I love it. And I'm like, okay, cool. But he loved Iron Fist, though. He loved the character.
The comic. Okay.
And so I was like, yeah, I just always knew he looked stupid. That's all.
Yeah, he had the yellow bandana thing.
Yeah, and like really long one. And although his big complaint was, I guess it was somewhat controversial back in the 70s. Or not controversial, but like odd. And it was a big part of his character that he's a vegetarian. And he's like Buddhist. He's like a monk sort of thing. But in the show, he's not. And they're like, I can't believe that they omitted. We finally had a vegetarian hero.
And he's eating a big steak.
He's eating like a Chipotle burrito with some chicken on it. So hold on. That, and I did watch something else. Oh, you know what? Maybe I didn't watch as much as I think because I think what you're going to say is going to be what I filled my time with. Hold on. There's one more. It was, I lost it. That's it. I think I'm just going to go with Iron Fist. Go ahead. Just try
it out. My recommendation is not going to a TV show or a movie or anything this week. I'm completely going off.
But has a semantic
thing. It does. I'm going to recommend anyone who has the means to play it, Zelda Breath of the Wild.
I mean, it's good.
Anybody who is lucky enough to get a Switch probably has it.
Right, because it's like the only game that's come out on it.
If you have a Wii U, I highly recommend it. That's the way I am playing it, and it is.
On the Wii U, do you look down on your tablet at all?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't use the screen at all.
Oh, not even you don't even see your like inventory list or anything.
Nothing.
They really didn't plan on that for the Wii.
That's the only part I don't like. You either play it on the TV or you play it on the screen.
Right.
You can't, there's no inventory or maps or anything.
That's
on
them
your
being like, hey, we made it. You have to deal with it. Yeah. We're not going to adapt.
Aside from that little nitpick thing, like it's probably one of the most amazing games I've ever played.
I second that. If you liked Shadows of Mordor and if you liked Skyrim, and you like the Zelda universe, this is a perfect combination.
A 100% open world Zelda game. You can go anywhere you want.
There's no like, oh, well, I can't do that until I beat this castle and this castle. Yep. Oh, I can't get there until I get the bombs, which I'm going to get in the third castle. Like none of that kind of stuff.
That is not the case at all.
Everything's accessible as much as your imagination allows it to be.
Almost. If you want to try to run to the castle and fight Ganon right off the bat, go for it.
Yeah.
You're not going to win, but you could.
I just pulled the Master Sword, and I was like, I'm going to go fight Ganon now. Because the guy actually tells you, no, you can go fight him. I would wait till you get all the divine beasts, yeah. But I'm like, I'll fight him. I didn't even make it to the castle before I died.
But that would be my recommendation. I'm going a little off the cuff. It is,
and there's a
it
lot
has taken
of like,
most of my time of
so
not
far,
watching
it is
things.
It's the first video game in which my grade and my oldest is playing it where he watches all the cutscenes and he doesn't skip them. He skips them in every game he's ever played.
Oh.
He doesn't skip them. He's actually into the story. Okay. I think this is going to be his like game when he's older. Like, oh, nothing's better than Breath of the Wild. That was my game when I was growing up.
And yeah, and like any other Zelda game, if you've played it, you know, the whole beginning, it's a good 3-4 hour beginning before you actually start the game. Like
right.
Every other Zelda.
Yeah, the tutorial. That everyone has to do. Outside of that,
yeah.
The game
yeah.
is.
You have to do that. And then after that.
That's just giving you all the functions of the game.
But you like, go wherever.
They really did reinvent everything. How you use bombs. How you like. It's cool. Man, it's cool.
Breath of the Wild yeah. and Legion and Iron Fist. You're kind of recommend it. Yeah. If you're into the Marvel shows, see it.
Oh, yeah. If you're into it, you're definitely going to see it. And the first, I mean, it may get better. I don't know. That's as far as I got.
Okay. I'm still behind. I haven't watched Luke Cage yet.
What?
I barely watched Jessica Jones. I'm way behind.
You are behind. You should do it while you drive.
So you want to talk a little bit about what we're seeing next?
We are getting ready to walk in to see
Life,
which I have low expectations of.
It looks
like Alien.
Yeah, it looks like an Alien knockoff or
Alien mixed with like what was the Matthew McConaughey
or like
movie?
The black goopy stuff from Prometheus.
Oh right,
like it's that
or the thing that goes in Dr. Spock's ear.
Yeah.
No. What is
or
the,
as other people joke, it's a prequel to Venom in Spider-Man.
What was the Matthew McConaughey's space movie a couple years ago?
Interstellar.
I feel like it's Interstellar mixed with Aliens. That's what it looks like. But it's a huge cast.
It's a very good cast. I can honestly say I have low expectations for it because it does look like an Alien knockoff.
Well, it just looks like something we've all seen.
Exactly.
Oh, now I'm like, okay, is it sci-fi? Is it horror? I can't tell.
Yeah, I think it's rated R.
Dude,
so
but
some
if
stuff's going to happen.
If in the end it ends up being a prequel for something we never saw...
It's a Cloverfield prequel.
I'd be like, boom,
how would that blow your mind?
Dropped my mic just like I did at the M. Night movie,
which you did love. I would probably say that's going to be on your top list.
Now. My brain is gone.
Which one?
The one we just saw.
Split.
Yes. Anyways,
if anyone hasn't listened to that episode, listen to it. It's Justin's favorite movie of the year thus far.
We're going to talk about our favorite comic book store.
Favorite comic book store?
Yeah.
Paper Street Trading Company?
Yes. I'll tell you what. One of the biggest events in my house every year is the second Saturday in May.
The comic book day?
Free comic book day.
Yes.
We go get comic books. We hang out. We get candy. We read our comic books. I've always been super loyal to Rockin' Rooster on the west side. And I don't like the people on this side of town and their comic books because they're stingy on free comic book day and they don't like kids.
Which one? I guess we won't name places because we don't want to
no place around here. But this year I'm going to try the Paper Trading Company.
Paper Street Trading Company. I know they're going to do a comic book day thing.
Yeah.
They have said. And anyone that lives in Cincinnati, they're on 4576 Montgomery Road in
right
Norwood.
Right in Norwood, Surrey Square.
Surrey Square.
Across from Surrey Square, is it?
It's at the end of Surrey Square. Yeah. Over.
Yeah, check it out. They're growing every day and putting new stuff in there and really nice guy owns
it. I was just there today looking around, found some new stuff. So next time we are going to see Life or talk about Life.
Let's
talk about Life.
What is Life about? Well,
this is not to be confused with the
Book of Life, Tree
of
Life,
or the animal show Life, which is phenomenal,
or the ever so popular board game Life.
Life, yes,
or in that cereal that sometimes we like to enjoy, Life.
I love the Cinnamon Life.
Ooh, Cinnamon Life is the bomb. All right, hey. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Maybe sometime we will see you at the movies.
Movies.